How will inflation affect my kids?
Google products are designed to prioritize quality information, so you can find news you can trust. Learn how Google supports news in Canada at g.co/news in Canada.
What a pleasure to say good morning. Former leader of the opposition, former leader of the federal NDP, and now he's all ours. Thomas Mulcair is here for Mulcair Monday. Nice to have you, sir. Hope you had a great weekend.
Did. Good to be with you, John.
Let's revisit the audio that people can't get enough of. As a matter of fact, the video is pretty hilarious, too. But this is Doug Ford swallowing a bee.
There's always solutions that we have to move forward, but not coming from the government per se, but the holy Christ, I just swallowed a bee.
Oh my
holy God. Christ, I knew that little bugger. Oh. I'm good. He's down here buzzing around right now.
Okay. Thomas Mulcair, a classic test of character, yeah. I think, and it was hilarious.
It was hilarious, and Ford played it perfectly, I think, despite using a bad word that might offend some people. It was really good. You know, I have to say I have my own bee anecdote. It was my first election with Jack Layton in the NDP. I'm running in a by-election. It's September 2007, and, you know, it's the time of year where the wasps are starting to die, and they're a bit more aggressive, and I'm giving an interview to the local CTV channel in Montreal, CFCF at the time, I believe, and there's a wasp on my neck, and I'm, you know, a couple of handlers are sort of making signs to me, and I got stung in the neck in the middle of the interview.
Oh,
so there you go.
Wow.
But nothing happened because I'm not allergic to them. It did. And I went to a pharmacy and the guy was great. He managed to pull out the stinger, but there you go. You know, politicians and bees, who knew?
Did you finish the interview?
Yeah. You know, just wondering what the heck I was supposed to do. But the poor guy from CFCF kept looking at me and saying, are you okay? It's fine.
There's a couple of stories that are more about Quebec, but, you know, they have resonance all over Canada. For example, Quebec's premier business school, which is Hôtel des Études Commerciales,
yes,
ran an
yes
ad, and a woman is wearing a hijab, and people got upset about that?
Oh, people started losing their stuff over that. Yes. Senior commentators, like Jean-François Lisée, a guy that I actually work with on a radio station in Montreal, former head of the Parti Québécois. And he was saying, no, you can't have a public institution essentially advertising for what, you know, he would be affirming would be Islamism. What are you doing putting a woman in a picture wearing a headscarf, a hijab? And so this is what we're living in Quebec, because we're heading into an election campaign right now. And you might recall from my 2015 campaign, whether or not you could wear a kneecap, so a full face covering, and still take your oath to become a Canadian citizen. That became a huge issue. Now it's been studied, you know, by really top level people in political science. And they said it really tipped the campaign against the NDP, especially starting in Quebec. And then once we fell behind the Liberals, that, you know, that was the tail of the tape in the whole election campaign. So we've got an election on October 3rd, a general election here in Quebec, and the rights of religious minorities are really back on the table. It's distressing to see, frankly, the types of terms and descriptions that are being used. We have this law in Quebec called Bill 21 that overtly discriminates against religious minorities generally, but Muslims in particular. And a great study last week by the Institute for Canadian Studies showed just how bad this is for the individuals who are now feeling targeted and, you know, there's so much oppression of religious minorities. There's even a hierarchy, John, and it shows that the people who suffer the most from it are Muslims, but also Sikhs and to a lesser extent, the Jewish community, if you're wearing an outward sign like a kippah, for example.
Meanwhile, I've read a couple of stories recently. People kept on texting me and saying, haven't you seen court documents prove Justin Trudeau only relied on politics? The science never backed up masking mandates, travel, all that stuff. And so I read the stories. I actually read them top to bottom three times in a row.
Yeah, me too.
And then
yeah,
you're a lawyer, right, Thomas?
Yep.
Okay. So the problem here is, for me anyway, these are statements of claim. And you can say anything you want in a statement of claim. That's why we have judges to decide whether or not you made it all up.
Perfectly true. And what's interesting here also is you're taking disparate elements, bits and pieces, to have your aha moment. And the aha moment, of course, is whether or not all of this was a government conspiracy, whether this was all about politics. Did Trudeau bring in the rules concerning vaccination and the ability to get on a plane? Did he bring that in just before launching the election campaign as part of his election campaign? So what you're doing here is essentially attributing motives. You're saying, this is what you did and this is why you did it. And you haven't got any of that proven so far. There are bits and pieces that are going to be objectively true. Well, one part that caught my eye that is quite amusing and corresponds to what I know about Ottawa is that there were actually very few experts involved in one of the main panels on the COVID-19 response. Very few experts in public health or epidemiology, which is typical of the federal government in Ottawa. But it doesn't prove anything. It doesn't prove that the decision was wrong. You know, the essential decision was saying, look, if you don't believe in getting vaccinated, you're not going to take that step. You can't get on a plane right now because we're in the middle of a pandemic and tens of thousands of people have died. And so that's the part that's left out of these stories, that the pandemic was real, that COVID-19 was killing thousands and thousands of people, and the government was coming up with the best response it could with the information it had. So this is attributing unseemly motives to the government, saying this was all done for the wrong reasons. But it's exactly like the bit about, you know, the so-called breakthrough with the trucker convoy. You know, there's going to be a bunch of stuff that's been said in the government, and one person at one point said, well, there's a potential for breakthrough, referring apparently to the attempts by the city of Ottawa to get talks going. But then it was quickly explained, correctly in my view, that nothing came of it, that the people who were running the trucker convoy that had shut down Ottawa had clearly said they're not leaving until they've replaced the government. Come on, this is a democracy, so you can't have that. And they eventually had to move in. And yes, the Emergencies Act allowed them to do that in an effective way.
But this does tear a page from the textbook mostly applied in the United States, which is that for those people who hated the mandates, now they're going to be able to argue, well, court documents have revealed. And of course, yes, technically.
And there's no smoking gun here, right? I mean, I'm like you. I read this stuff. But they're trying to reverse engineer a decision more than a year later. And they're trying to come up with little bits and pieces that reaffirm their feeling that the whole thing was a government conspiracy. I think that that's the part that's the most disturbing. As it's as if to say that COVID-19 really wasn't killing thousands of people. The government really shouldn't have used whatever tools it had at its disposal to protect the largest number of people possible. That's what I find the most difficult to understand about this and how some people are buying into it. Now, what's interesting is that one of the main articles on this didn't get published in a mainstream newspaper. It got published in, you know, basically some online thing that you've probably never heard of, but it's making the rounds, you know, and it does seep into the more mainstream media. And that means that it's getting into more and more people's minds that, oh, you know, maybe there was something unseemly about doing everything we could to protect people from a horrible disease that could kill them. And that's what's the most galling here, in my view.
Okay, you're the perfect guy to explain the significance of this because it's beyond my comprehension. But Globe publishing a pretty comprehensive story on the weekend about how Chinese businesses are buying Canadian minerals and we should be worried about it.
Well, it goes all the way back to when the Conservatives were in power. There was, you know, something called the Chinese National Offshore Oil Company that was busy buying up Canadian properties in the oil and gas sector. And we had an agreement with China to protect foreign investors. And that sort of agreement actually puts them above the law. So you couldn't bring in, for example, new and much tougher rules on environment, let's say, and they could still come back to you and say, well, no, my deal when I bought in Canada, these were the rules and I can supersede that. So this is the big concern that we have here. The Chinese have piles of cash to buy into companies. We're a bit naive on this stuff here in Canada. We've got massive resources. We've been blessed with that wealth. And the Chinese are very good at prospecting and investing. And they're saying, okay, well, if I'm allowed to enter your free market, despite the fact that I still have a state-controlled economy, then I'm going to start doing that. The same thing happened, John, with the purchase of agricultural properties. Some provinces have gotten tougher than others with regard to shutting that down. But around the world, the Chinese are using their mountains of cash to buy the land, to buy the minerals. And we in Canada need a policy on this, and we don't seem to have one.
Thomas Mulcair, thank you very much. Good to have you.
Great to be with you, John. All the best.
Wide-ranging discussion on a whole bunch of issues this morning, but it's always a pleasure on Mondays, Mulcair Mondays, as we like to call them, to have as Thomas Mulcair, former leader of the federal NDP, and his political analysis of the big stories in the news.
How will inflation affect my kids?
What are the best road trips this summer?
What's the latest on the cost of living? Google helps you find the facts. Our products are designed to prioritize quality information, so you can find news you can trust. Learn how Google supports news in Canada at g.co/newsincanada.